Your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Probably no surprise there. And I think one of the toughest challenges we face as people is losing a job. You know, I believe it's in our bones, it's how we're wired that we need to work and be productive. And, you know, I don't know that there's a literal biological difference between men and women, but I think certainly it's culturally shaped in us as men that we have to provide. And there's this expectation that we feel and that we carry. And so when a man loses his job, it's a tough thing to go through. And you know, many of you know Cuddy Carscallon. You know, you've heard of people who need no introduction. This is certainly a man who wants no introduction. You might know Cuddy, but it's not from him being on stage. He's one of the most talented and one of the most serving people I've ever known, but everything he does is behind the scenes. But in 2015, Cuddy lost his job. And it led to a journey that turned into months and months of searching and seeking and longing for a job. And if any of you have gone through that, you know how hard that is. Then eventually he got the good news. He got a job up in Gainesville, and that was fantastic. And then, but now, just recently, less than a year later, that company was bought. And so he got the news he was losing that job. The first job that he got, it was actually the first job that he lost, the company was actually moving, and he could have kept his job if he had moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, but his life is here. And he didn't want to move, so he let go of that job, and trusting that God would give something in this place with his family, with his friends, with his church family. And but then the company was bought, that where he got the job, and he got news that he was losing the job again. And it's an inspiring story to hear about how God came through in unexpected ways in both of those circumstances to give him a job. But I'm not here this morning to tell you those stories. You can talk to him about that. Because it's always good to take time to count your blessings, to take time to acknowledge the answered prayers. But this morning, it's good to celebrate the victories. But this morning, I'm not talking to you about the way that God came through and giving him a job in both those circumstances. What I want to share with you, and what means so much to me, is how Cuddy walked with God before he got the job. How he was able, because of his faith in a good God who cares about him, the way he was able to walk in hope. You know, since April, a group of us have been meeting every Tuesday morning at 6:30 to pray. And Cuddy's a regular in that group. And I also work with his wife, you know. So I've kind of had a ringside seat to his journey in losing and then finding jobs. But in that setting, when you meet together with somebody just about every week and pray, you hear what's on people's hearts. You hear about how they feel about what's going on in their life. And when you talk to somebody about something they're longing for, you get a window into their relationship with God. And because of Cuddy's faith, what he's been able to do, he's been able to call upon this certain kind of sensitivity. a certain spiritual awareness to keep envisioning the time when God would show up. To keep envisioning the time when God would come through before God came through. So that he had a peace as he was going through that tough time. And that special sensitivity, that spiritual awareness is called hope. It's the ability to see beyond what's going on right now. The ability to see the not yet. You know, Jesus was born in a time of longing and waiting for Israel. God had promised to send a Messiah, a Savior. But that had been hundreds of years ago for them. I don't know if you've ever tried to wait hundreds of years. I haven't. Sounds hard. Hundreds of years. There were some, though, among God's people who were still holding on to hope. All those years later, those whose hope was in a God, and that hope never could quite be swallowed up with all the waiting and with all the longing. Somehow, instead of giving up, they kept asking and they kept seeking and they kept expecting that God was going to show up again. It was the same God who had heard their cries in Egypt and had rescued them from slavery. And then he brought them out and he made them into a nation, a free people. And he had to take them out of Egypt. Then he had to kind of take the Egypt out of them. And he showed them how to live. But that Egypt situation wasn't the last tough time they went through. Through wars, through conquering, through exile, through attacks, and now at this time being conquered and dominated by the Roman Empire, they're still waiting after hundreds of years, and some of them had still been able to hold on to hope. One of them was this man named Simeon. Luke 2:25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." You know, the good news of great joy that was proclaimed by the angels was that Jesus, this baby that was born in Bethlehem, was the Messiah that they had been waiting on. The story that, the good news was that his story was the completion and the fulfillment of the story of Israel. And that is that's the meaning, that's the significance of the Christmas story. And right there in the middle of the Christmas story is this man Simeon. He's one of those of maybe just a handful of people who hadn't forgotten how to hope, who still held on to the promise that God had made all those years ago. To hold on to hope through the longing, through the waiting, through the doubts and the fears, all those years of longing. one of the few who still believed that time is really no time to God. Luke says that he was told by the Spirit that he wouldn't die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And it was so much just on his heart that now, as an old man, it's really all he was living for. And one day, Simeon, I'm sure he was just going about his business, doing what old men do. Whatever that is, you know, I would have no idea. But he's going about his business when something happened. Something significant happened. Luke calls it being moved by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit moves. In the scripture that Steve read earlier, it was talking about the Spirit moving. The first time we hear about the Spirit is at the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis. It says the Holy Spirit was moving, hovering over the surface of the waters, over the chaos that's there. Sometimes, whether it's a lost job or a struggle in a relationship with children, with a spouse, with parents, financial struggles, health struggles, physical health, mental health, all kinds of struggles. You know, in the middle of our chaos, the Spirit is right there hovering over the chaos, waiting to move. The Spirit moved. Simeon heard. Simeon was in such a posture that he could feel the prompting. He could recognize somehow the prompting of the Spirit. Speaking of that, let me just say this. I'm going to hit the pause button on my sermon, because I believe the Spirit moves. And if any time during today, whether it's during my sermon or the song that's coming next or whatever, if you feel moved to go sign up on the prayer chain, go ahead and do it. You won't bother me. There we go. Simeon was moved by the Spirit, and somehow he knew, I need to go to the temple courts. And he went to the temple courts right at the time that Mary and Joseph came in with baby Jesus. And his response is, now I can die in peace. Now I can die in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. God, you fulfilled your promise. You've given us a king. My eyes have seen your salvation. And he didn't just mean, my eyes now have seen the person who will allow me to go to heaven after I die. He says, this is everything. This is our king. This is our ruler. Under this, the leadership of this child, we will thrive. It's something that the Roman Empire or no other worldly power can overwhelm and can't wipe out. This child will grow up in his ways. The reign of God on earth that he will usher in will be glory to Israel and a light to everybody else, the Gentiles. For centuries now, the church has celebrated, well, a good bit of the church has celebrated Advent, which is about the coming. You know, we know about the holiday, the one day, Christmas. But really, for much of the church, this has been a whole season called Advent, which means coming. And it's a whole season that's focused on anticipating the birth of Jesus. It's about longing. It's about desire. It's about that which is yet to come. That which isn't here yet. So we wait expectantly together with an ache, because there are some things that haven't happened yet that we want. Something's missing. Now, Jesus did arrive. Jesus was born. So we're not waiting for that. He does reign at the right hand of the throne of God. But his reign, his kingdom, has not fully come yet. And we still live in a broken world. We still live in the middle of chaos. We have situations and circumstances in our lives and in this world that aren't set right yet. So we still live with longing. But Advent is the invitation to bring that longing before a God who cares, a God who listens, a God who has not abandoned this world. After 800 years, it would make sense that it would make sense if everybody thought God had forgotten his promise. But Simeon and others still lived in hope. And this strikes at the very root of one of the most popular religions in the world today, and that is the religion called cynicism. This religion called cynicism teaches that nothing is as good as it seems. Everything, no matter what it is, it's going to let you down. It'll betray you. That organization, that institution, that church, that leader, that individual, that friend, that spouse, that whatever, they're going to fail you. They're going to let you down. So don't get your hopes up. And there's something about... You guys know what I'm talking about? It's all around us. And here's one of the things that cynicism has got going for it. It makes you feel so smart. It makes you feel so in the know. To say something could blow up. Something could come back to bite you where you don't want to be bit. It feels so safe to not trust. You feel like you're protecting yourself. You feel like you're taking the path where you won't be let down. And it makes you feel smart and secure and safe for a little while. Until finally it occurs to you that the way you're living is that you've just decided to give up on your dreams. Until it occurs to you that you've decided to believe that there's not a good God. So in having a season of thinking about longing and anticipation for God to come through, it confronts this corrosion of the heart with its insistence that God has abandoned the world. And so this, so Advent, it rushes into the temple of cynicism and turns over the tables and scatters its money and says, this was supposed to be a house of prayer for all the nations, a place where people could come and put their hope in a good God who will show up even if it's 800 years later. That it's not actually crazy. It's sound because of who God is. With all the competing voices that are going on, it whispers in our ear that what's not here yet is going to be so worth it. Hold on to hope. So here the old man Simeon stands in the temple holding the baby Jesus, the Christ child, rejoicing that now he can die because what he's been waiting for has arrived. And that was to be celebrated, but I think in one sense, the victory is that he had been able to live in hope up till that time. It's what kept him going. And so, along with Simeon, in hope, in that good God, you know, each year we enter into a season of waiting and longing and expectation. And we acknowledge the longings, the pain, the aches that are in our lives. We acknowledge the things that aren't right yet. And when we remember to hold on to hope, the Spirit meets us in the ache. God shows up to rescue us from the same old, the places that cynicism leads us to throw our dreams away, to imagine, to stop believing that the best days are ahead. Spirit rescues us from the sameness, the dullness, just this flatline routine, going through the motions. And we're going through the motions and dealing with the result of trying to be safe, of trying not to get our hopes up, which is what cynicism tells us to do. That's what cynicism says it's safe to do, and that it leaves us in this dead place, this flat zone, where we don't hope. You know, a cynic is just a dreamer who's been disappointed. And so what it's easy to do is once we've been disappointed, if we've been let down, if we tried something and didn't work, we come up with the plan to actually save ourselves, to protect ourselves from disappointment, and that is to let go of hope. So I don't know what's going on in your world, in your life, but I'm inspired by the hope of Simeon. I'm inspired by the hope of Cuddy. And he's not the only story of hope in here. But I think this is the time of year that we, one of our jobs is to remind each other that we are the people of hope. That we serve a good God who will come through. But actually, as we open ourselves up to God, as we soften our hearts, as we allow the hard shell that we form to protect ourselves to be chipped away or to be melted away, that we're opening ourselves to hope, that we're remembering to keep asking and to not give up. But it's also good to be reminded that actually the goal of this pursuit is God and not God's answer. The ultimate result is that we walk with God, and God is good, and eventually things will be set right. But it really has to do with the quality of life that we have as we walk with God, even before the answer gets there. That's what hope does. And so what Advent does every year is it whispers in our ear, in the midst of our chaos, God is with us. Emmanuel. God is with us. In just a moment, Bob O'Keefe will come up and close us out with O Holy Night, which celebrates this amazing event, but let me lead us in prayer before he does that.